Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Well, hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, I don't have any comments. And again, I do miss having your comments, but I have so much to talk about today, it's probably a good thing. Now, we are just days away from the beginning of the year 2020. And I have noticed an increased number of ads on Oklahoma television promoting new Democratic hopefuls that want to be selected by the Democrat Party to run for president. Now, there's two men in particular. They both appear to be very sincere in their motivations for running. One of these gentlemen claims to better understand how to strengthen the American economy, and the other believes in their ability to tackle the problems of climate change. I thought that was really interesting. That really drew my attention. Now, the first man believes not enough is being done to tax the rich. The second believes not enough is being done to police the energy corporations in order to stop the sure-to-come nightmare of a climate apocalypse. Now, the reason why the second one, I think, is actually more interesting to me is... I don't want to get too much into all the details because I don't want to reveal people. Remember our last program we talked about, we can't judge the inner man. So I don't want to judge the inner man of these two men. I really don't know what they're thinking. But because I've been working on this current series on a tribute to Charles Krauthammer, it was the second hopeful that really caught my attention. Now, here's why. In Mr. Krauthammer's book, Things That Matter, he includes a thought-provoking essay on global warming that, to me, makes much sense. I know that when I hear everything on the news, like television, or I hear it on radio, it really is confusing what's going on with this whole idea of climate change and global warming. But it just seems like, as is the case with almost every one of his essays, he seems to be able to get at the heart of the matter. He's able to kind of have it all make sense. So today, what I want to do is I want to share and discuss this essay with you. Now, also, this is finals week at the college. Some are also fighting cold, so I will be alone today. But I do want to share parts of a new article published in our January 2020 Trumpet magazine. So in a sense, the author of this article will be my mystery guest for today's program. Now, the essay that I want to talk to you about today from Things That Matter is titled The Church of Global Warming. And I want to just get into this first paragraph. Remember now, Krauthammer is just so good at attracting our attention, getting us involved. He's really, really sweet, really short in the beginning, but we can't help but read the rest of the essay. Now, here's that first paragraph. It says, "I'm not a global warming believer. I'm not a global warming denier. I'm a global warming agnostic who believes instinctively that it can't be very good to pump lots of CO2 into the atmosphere, but is equally convinced that those who presume to know exactly where that leads are talking through their hats." Now that's really funny, and that really does tell us a lot. Now, remember, an agnostic is a person who believes that nothing is known or can be known. And so what he's saying is there's a lot of talk about, pumping lots of CO2 in the atmosphere. And, of course, I think we all have to be concerned about that. We do have to be concerned about our planet. We do have to be concerned about our home and how we take care of it. And we're, in many ways, doing a bad job of it. But what he's saying is, look, let's be reasonable about some of this, and let's really make sure that we check into to the whole issue and find out what people are really saying. Now, it's really good what he's saying here is because, people really don't know all the details that they could about what's happening with the climate. And there are some people that are really skeptical about all the climate change people that are out there talking all the time. And essentially, if you look at the title of this essay, Charles Krauthammer is really saying us that everything we hear about climate change today is a faith. It's like those that are advocating these theories, on the dangers of climate change, they're preaching it with religious fervor, and yet not all of it may be true. And that's what he's saying. He says those who pretend it is a religion of truth are talking through their hats. Remember now, he's really trying to be open-minded about it, and I think all of us should be definitely open-minded about how we take care of the climate and how we take care of the earth. But the thing is, he goes on now to explain why he's an agnostic. And I think this makes so much sense. I'm just going to read another quote. It's on the same page. We're on page 178. He says, predictions of catastrophe depend on models. And he's talking there about scientific models. And he says, models depend on assumptions about complex planetary systems, from ocean currents to cloud formation, that no one fully understands. So he's saying is, look, there's these group of scientists, they believe they have these models, and what he's saying is just because it's a model doesn't mean it's right or doesn't mean it's true. He said, which is why the models are inherently flawed and forever changing. The doomsday scenarios posit a cascade of events, each with certain probability. The multiple improbability of their simultaneous occurrence renders all such predictions entirely speculative. And so what he's really saying with this whole essay is, look, the people involved in climate change, it's their religion. They believe it's all true. You know, they want us to become converts to their prediction. But what he's saying is the predictions are based upon models, and models are entirely speculative. And so where's the real truth? And, how many people out there honestly have religions that aren't based on truth? And so that's what he's saying. And the point is, we really need to be aware of that. I mean, there is so many people, and we have to be honest, they're on the left, and left-thinking in politics, is they really want to say that, well, this planet could be absolutely destroyed in 10 years or 20 years. Now, I may be making an extreme statement on that, but they really want to say that we are in immediate danger. And let me just go on to read what he says about these models. He says, yet on the basis of this speculation, environmental activists attended by compliant scientists and opportunistic politicians are advocating radical economic and social regulation. And that's really what we see played out in the media. And he goes on to talk about the media here in just a minute. He said he gives us a great example of what he would call the radical economic and social regulation. And this is a quote. He says, the largest threat to freedom, democracy, the market economy, and prosperity, warns Czech President Václav Klaus. Now, remember, this was written in 2008, so this is somewhat dated. But he said it's no longer socialism. It is instead the ambitious, arrogant, unscrupulous ideology of environmentalism. And so essentially, I mean, Krauthammer really gets to the core of what's really going on out there. And it's really not all about climate change at all. It's about who can get control of governments, who can get control of the people. And so, I mean, people know that socialism doesn't work. People know that communism has been horrible. And so now they've latched on to climate change to promote really their socialist ideas and their communistic ideas. And I really think that's where Krauthammer is just a genius at how he can get this across so quickly. He said, now, if you doubt that arrogance, and he's saying it's really arrogant what people are doing. He said, if you doubt that arrogance, you haven't seen the Newsweek cover story that declared the global warming debate over. Now, I did a little bit of research, and you can go back on the internet, and you can find that Newsweek article. And I think it was printed in 2007, but it just shows that the media is really playing all of this up. They really are, let's say, they're in bed with the climate change advocates. And he says, they declared, essentially what he's saying is they declared global warming, the debate is over. In other words, it's absolute truth. There's no one that should question it. No one should even consider questioning it. He said, consider if Newton's laws of motion could, after 200 years of unfailing experimental and experiential confirmation, be overthrown, it requires religious fervor to believe that global warming, infinitely more untested, complex, and speculative, is a closed issue. So he's saying, look, people out there talking about global warming, they're talking about climate change, they believe that's truth, they believe it's unquestionable. And, you know, very rarely, if you think about it, there are a body of scientists that don't agree with climate change. And the thing is, you never hear anything about them, and Krauthammer brings this up. You know, we don't hear from them. But really, all of you listeners out there, we have to begin to realize it's not because they're not speaking out. The reason why we don't hear them is they're not given a chance at the microphone. And herein lies the big danger. And again, he's just showing, you know, how absolutely arrogant today's media is. And of course, you know, we can see even with this whole idea of impeaching President Trump, it's the same way. You maybe have one or two news sources that are going to give an opposite side of the story. All of the major news media today, they're all liberal left. They're all saying the same thing. They all hate Trump. It's truth. We should never question it. We should just go along with it. And that's really kind of a sad state of affairs for America. Now, the thing is, what Krauthammer is so good at, he's good at analyzing, well, what's their motives? And again, this is a lot different than his Inner Man article or his essay. But the point is, we need to listen to what he has to say. He says, but declaring it closed, in other words, the debate on climate change, but declaring it closed has its rewards. Now, what he's saying, it's not a necessary reward for the people. It's a reward for those that are in the church of global warming. He said it not only dismisses skeptics as the running dogs of reaction, and he's saying, for example, of Exxon and Cheney and now Kloss. And so again, that's a little dated. But if you go back in that time, you're going to see that these people were not necessarily agreeing with climate change even then. He said, by fiat, it is also hugely re-empowers the intellectual left. And so now he's talking the reality of what we're seeing today. And it's, there is an intellectual left, and they have really bit into or, you know, latched onto this whole idea of climate change and global warming and the bad weather and things that are happening today. And they're just warning everyone, you know, we've got to get control of the government. We've got to get control of capitalism. We've got to get control of the energy corporations. He goes on to say, he said, for a century, an ambitious, arrogant, unscrupulous knowledge class, social planners, scientists, intellectuals, experts, and their left-wing political allies arrogated to themselves the right to rule in either the name of the oppressed working class or communism, or in the more benign form by virtue of their superior expertise in achieving the highest social progress by means of state planning, which means socialism. And so he's saying that this, all this rhetoric, all of this, all of these, this hype going on about climate change is been captured by the intellectual left elite, and they want to get control of government. And they're still promoting socialism or communism, but they're just doing it through this whole idea of climate change. Now, he goes on to say, there's a real danger to this unscrupulous knowledge class. And we have to be aware that it's there and it's really working. And I think it's really exposed right now, even in what's going on with, certainly the Trump impeachment. I mean, if you look at it, in England, this elite, this knowledge class, wanted to get rid of Boris Johnson. That didn't work. You have the same elite in Jerusalem trying to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu, and I don't believe that's going to work either, because I think there are enough people out there that can see through it. He says, but 2 decades ago, however, socialism and communism died rudely and then were buried forever by the empirical demonstration of the superiority of market capitalism everywhere, from Thatcher's England to Deng's China, where just the partial abolition of socialism lifted more people out of poverty more rapidly than ever in human history. And so he's saying, look, you know, capitalism is not the problem with our climate. It's not the problem we're having environmentally. And he goes on to say, he says, just as the ash heap of history beckoned, the intellectual left was handed the ultimate salvation, environmentalism. Now the experts will regulate your life, not in the name of the proletariat or Fabian socialism, but even better, in the name of Earth itself. Now, in some ways, this is really quite an amazing piece, because this is exactly what's happened, and we can see the fruits of it now. We can really see it a lot more than we could, let's say, in 2008. But here's where he's really, again, I think he just proves, you know, he's a very well read. He calls these environmentalists now gay as priests. And again, I hope you just read this essay. I'm on page 179, by the way, if you need to know where I am in the book. He says, environmentalists are gay as priests. Now, Gaia was the ancestral mother of all life. In other words, she was the earth goddess. He's really still on this whole idea of the Church of Global Warming, but he's really telling us it's a pagan religion. That's what he's saying here. It's an absolute pagan religion, and all these environmentalists are gay as priests. In other words, they are kind of wanting us to worship the earth goddess. He says, environmentalists are gay as priests, instructing us in her proper service and casting out those who refuse to genuflect. And he also says, go back to that Newsweek article again. He said, and having proclaimed the ultimate commandment, carbon chastity, they are preparing the supporting canonical legislation that will tell you how much you can travel, what kind of light you will read by, and what temperature you may set your bedroom thermostat. And so they are talking about that. They want more regulation of our lives. Now, this was, again, he wrote this in 2008. He said, on Monday, a British parliamentary committee proposed that every citizen be required to carry a carbon card that must be presented under penalty of law when buying gasoline, taking an airplane, or using electricity. I mean, this is under the penalty of law, that they had to produce this card so they could do these things. They could buy gas or take an airplane or use electricity. And it says the card contains your yearly carbon ration to be drawn down with every purchase, every trip, every swipe. And then he goes on to say, look, there's no greater social power than the power to ration. And other than rationing food, there is no greater instrument of social control than rationing energy, the currency of just about everything one does and uses in an advanced society. Look at where he went with this. I mean, he really took us pretty deeply, and it's really just it's a very, very short essay in many ways. But he goes on to say, he begins to give some of his solutions for the, you know, what the climate change, let's say, religionists are promoting. He said, so what does the global warming agnostic propose as an alternative? First, and he's talking about himself now, remember, he's the agnostic. He said, first, more research, untainted and reliable, to determine, A, whether the carbon footprint of man is or is not lost among the massive natural forces from sunspot activity to ocean currents that affect climate. And he said, well, there could be so many other things affecting the climate, just natural forces. And he said, B, if the human effect is indeed significant, whether the planetary climate system has the homeostatic mechanisms, like the feedback loops in the human body, for example, with which to compensate. And he's saying, well, look, what if there are some things going on, even with a carbon footprint? Maybe the creation can handle it without us rationing everything, or without us, you know, trying to get control of governments. And he said, second, this is another suggestion, reduce our carbon footprint in the interim by doing the doable, rather than the economically ruinous and socially destructive. The most obvious step is a major move towards nuclear power, which to the atmosphere is the cleanest of the clean. He said, but your would-be masters have foreseen this contingency, and the Church of the Environmental Promulgator's secondary dogma as well. One of these is a strict nuclear taboo. So in other words, the environmentalists are saying, nope, can't use nuclear. And, you know, we have to kind of scratch that off as an alternative. And he said, notice what he says there. He says, rather convenient, is it not? Take this major coal substituting fix off the table and we will be rationing all the more. And he said, guess who does the rationing? Now, that's all from page 180. And so, again, those are Krauthammer solutions. And you know, there are issues with nuclear power. I mean, I did work in the nuclear industry for a while, and I know there are some problems with that. Well, now what I'd like to do is maybe introduce my mystery guest. And I just wanted to let you know, and this is really a great article, Mr. Joel Hilliker in our January 2020 Trumpet Magazine has a great article on this whole idea of climate change. But his title is The Unseen Consequence of Climate Change. Now, you can read this article actually right now at thetrumpet.com. You can get on there and read it. And so, you know, it would not, the print edition isn't out yet, but you could read it online. And I really highly recommend you do it. Now, it's quite an extensive article, and it's really well written. I'm going to read you just a few points from it. He does, at the very beginning of his article, again, this is called The Unseen Consequence of Climate Change. He does give us a pretty bleak picture. It says, somewhere in the world, environmental disasters are always wreaking destruction and taking lives. In 2019, we saw Hurricane Dorian, Cyclone Idai, the Midwest U.S. bomb cyclone, earthquakes in Indonesia, tornadoes in the United States, and other deadly disasters with California wildfires, Italian floods, and Australian and South African droughts pushing on into the new year. And so the thing is, there are, you know, a lot of things out there environmentally that are you know, turning things upside down. But why are they? Is it really because of the carbon footprint? And Mr. Hilliker goes on to say, despite these disasters being drastically different, in other words, they're not really all the same thing, he says, and hitting disparate locations around the globe, they are all believed to all trace back to a common cause. And he says, obviously, he's trying to get us to see that the common cause is climate change. And he's saying, look, all these disasters are kind of different. They're not all the same. And so that's what people want to do. They want to all say that all these disasters are happening because of climate change. And the point is, it's really right to question that thinking. On page 3 of this article, he says, the list of global problems being blamed on the single cause is rapidly growing. They include, but are far from limited to, more floods, more droughts, more wildfires, more heat waves, rising temperatures, dropping temperatures, increased tornadoes, stronger hurricanes, rising sea levels, shrinking Arctic sea ice, higher ocean acidity, less drinking water, imperiled agriculture, expanding desertification, multiplying disease-carrying insects. Then climate change is blamed for the resulting deprivation, malnutrition, starvation, economic inequality, civil unrest, population displacement, and so on. And so he's saying, look, all of that is being blamed on climate change. He does ask some really important questions in this article. And here on page 4, he does ask us to start thinking, just like Charles Krauthammer asked us. He says, over the roar and the clatter of such alarmism, truth can get drowned out. This leads to what truly is a terrible consequence of climate change, one with life and death effects. So what is the terrible consequence of climate change? Well, it's the truth is often hidden. The truth is drowned out. Just like the scientists that don't agree with climate change, they're drowned out. And he goes on the same page 4 to show how the people promoting this really are manipulating the data. says a report endorsed by 11,000 scientists sounds unimpeachable, virtual scientific unanimity. But several skeptics scoured the list of scientists and found huge numbers with questionable credentials, students, researchers, professors or associate professors in fields that have nothing to do with climate, such as gynecology, ethnomusicology, food safety. Some had no credentials at all. One signatory was Mickey Mouse, professor at Mickey Mouse Institute for the Blind. And so these are supposedly the climate change specialists. He says, these skeptics had good cause for their suspicion. This kind of fraud is routine in climate change science. And so here, what Charles Krauthammer said in 2008 is true today, and maybe even more true today, that you got to really question the skeptics. Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. Next time, we will continue our discussion of the Church of Global Warming. We are now several essays into our new series titled A Tribute to Charles Krauthammer. We are reading selected portions of his book of essays titled Things That Matter. You can buy this book at Amazon.com. You can find a used copy of the book at abebooks.com. And of course, you can check your local library. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. And you can follow JBL on Twitter at JBLiterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.